back to the Challenge All-Stars Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 7 and Match Me If You Can. I am Brian Cohn. Hear me, as always, my co-host Alistair. Ellie, how are you?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. I had to say it in my head, All-Stars, All-Stars. It's not Double Agents. We're on All-Stars.
We were chatting a little bit before the podcast, and I was like, all right, I'm not going to say this. Let's get to the pod and I'll say it. Does this at all, I feel like for all of the people, including you, going back and rediscovering Old Season, the Challenge, rediscovering our podcast, which remind me of a question about that. This watching All Stars and then coming on to do a podcast with you feels very vintage Challenge to me. Like, this feels like 2014. Am I crazy?
I was trying to think in my head, what's a 2014 reference? And I'm like drawing a blank. I don't know, iPhone 5 just came out. Let's go get, I don't know. Sure. I guess so. I mean, it's nice that the best part about these are jam-packed 42 minutes, clean, easy to follow, ends perfectly, challenge. It's like old school. Like, this is what the Challenge is based on. So yeah, I guess it's a 2014 vibes.
It just feels very like there's not a lot of Twitter to go through. I mean, I love it, but like, there, it's just like it's on its face. Let's take it at face value. People aren't that serious about it. Like, it just feels very like, I don't know that a lot of people will be listening to this podcast. It feels right. Like a very season one Challenge wrap ups vibe.
I'd be so curious of that. Do you think, is anyone, I would imagine if people are listening to this podcast, they really like the Challenge, or they like us, or just like you, and they would be watching Challenge All Stars, right? I would imagine there's got to be no one really, if you like the show, that's actively not watching the All Stars one.
I don't know. I mean, this definitely feels family only, where I almost feel like I could take a breath. Like, I love that we had an influx of new listeners. And I, even though I said, like, please don't listen at the beginning of the season, there felt like this hot, not that we performed any differently, I don't think, but like, I felt like some more pressure, that some more ears were going to be on us. Now I feel like we've slimmed down. We've trimmed the fat, although we were happy to have you. And this is like family only. Are people is anyone listening to this and not watching the show? I mean, considering that it's behind a paywall, I think it's possible.
It is. I guess that would be the biggest holdup, is not. I mean, if I was doing this podcast, probably what I would do, not to, you know, take away money from Paramount, but I would wait till maybe now and just sign up for the month, and you can watch the whole thing and only pay for 1 month, rather than paying for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months if you don't want to cover the entire length of the show. So that could be a move. So this could be a time where people jump in knowing it's about to be over.
Well, regardless, you know, we're happy to have you. Everyone knows everyone who's in my podcast family knows I like a family only podcast. So it does, it really doesn't jive with like building a network and like building an audience. But like, I feel very excited to be here talking to you about just the limited, and I'll look forward to getting back, and we should talk about it. Like, production has resumed again. For the Challenge 300, whatever season it is, 37.
I think so.
3 million, yeah, Challenge 3 million. Yeah.
37.
And we will, you know, Matt Liguori's barking up our tree. We will do another Musluf draft. We have to consult with our beep beep, the DDs. I don't know that they're listening to this. Like, we don't know who's here. We only know Kyle Picard is here for Match Me If You Can.
It is weird because we have no segments. That's right. We have no drinking game. We have no nothing. We're just like, you know, we're like in senioritis mode. We handed in all our finals, and we're like, all right, what movie are we watching today, English class? What are we doing?
Oh, that's where we shine. But yeah, so we look out for that. I keep saying this, but like, I said this at the end of NGOG this week. Can you believe we're coming on 7 years in June? Like, we are
crazy.
3 weeks away from 7 years of this.
This is like this is longer than any job I've had. This is longer than any individual school. Like, this is longer than anything outside of some friends that like I have in elementary that I've had anything in my life. It's crazy.
You've been doing this before you met your wife.
Yeah, multiple years, 2 years before.
It's really, like we've said last year, and we never did it, so who knows? But like, I'm sure we'll get on the hop on the mic if allowed in June and talk about this. But like, it's really wild, like, to just look at the evolution of like where we were. I mean, I was living at home and just graduated college. I did my first podcast with you and Rob from my friend's apartment in New York because I didn't want to like be late and like commuting back from work. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so funny. And like law school and yeah, friends yeah. have changed. Boyfriends have changed. Some of us have gained wives and like, here we are.
I mean, in my own challenge rewatch, I'm about to get up. Like, I'm very close to finishing Ravels 2, and the next stop is Free Agents. And I feel like I'm watching shows from like 10, 15 years ago. And that's when we started this podcast. I might have to like re-listen to our first podcast when I get up to that episode. It's great. I would have our podcast to help me on my challenge rewatch.
Well, great. I'm glad you've signed up for this project, Brian, because people have asked since we've been promoting, like, go back and listen to our podcast. Isn't it great that we started halfway through Free Agents? It's also fun to see how Rob has grown and RHAP has grown, because like mm-hmm. at the time it was Rob and it was the Bachelor Hap-Ups and then it was us. And it's crazy to think now that Rob just started a new podcast in the middle of the season. Like, I don't think he would do that now.
I was like, all right, episode 6 of The Circle. We're going to start podcasting. Here we go, people. Jump on in.
I remember Rob reached out. Maybe we should be waiting to talk about them, but Rob reached out and then I never heard from him. And then the season started. So I was like, okay, like he went in a different direction. He decided to do it. And then he was like, all right, we're going to start. And I was like, we're 5 episodes in. Like, why are we doing this now?
It's crazy. I would love to go back and listen to our first podcast. That is a good project. If that's a project you were that you're with, I want to go hear our open, like this, how we described ourselves. Like, all right, this is episode 7. Here we are. Follow along.
I think maybe that's what our 7th anniversary podcast is. So we have some material. We do the Brian AMA. Then we also do like a re-listen, and we do a podcast on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. I almost think we should do it on the set, because the first one we did it with Rob, right? Second one was our first solo ride.
Brian, I'm willing to listen to both of them.
Fair enough.
Well, but here's the catch, is that people have said, how do we get them? Because they're actually like only go back to like Battle of the whatever. I forget what season is like most available online. So we might not actually be able to do that. So I have to talk to Sam, or like if you could figure out if somebody has gone back to Free Agents and has been able to find it, please let us know. They say the internet
you could Google
is forever.
Yeah, I feel like you can Google. I just tried Googling challenge Free Agents wrap ups. Let's see.
We have nothing else going on. Let's work this out live on the air.
Let's see. Well, the tag challenge Free Agents comes up completely blank on Rob's website. So that's
right.
That's not what you hope for.
So I will reach out, but I'm also, maybe Brian, you want to take this one since you're the historian
I'll reach out.
So Brian's on it. I was on it in the sense that I got Brian on it. You can now go to him.
I'm on the RHAP. No. Oh yeah. It's 404 error.
I think I have messaged Sam about this in the past. Whatever. We'll work it out.
Yeah.
So if you're going back to look that far back, maybe they're not available. Hopefully we could dig them up.
They're somewhere. I mean, the internet saves everything. So I can't imagine it's scrubbed.
We've talked about the process. You like delete all of the files from your computer. I honestly might have the recording on my computer.
The second Scott posts the podcast, I'm like, all right, delete it.
Well,
off my computer.
We have many complimentary personality traits. I'm a disaster and I have everything just like saved to desktop in a disaster mess. And you like
this
clean
is when,
everything up.
This is when I still did interviews. I was looking the first podcast. So we did it with Rob. And then right after that, I did an interview with Kahata after he was eliminated.
Add that. I'm listening to that too. Where are you finding that?
On rhap.fandom.com. I don't know how I found this page, but here I am.
Okay, fantastic. So hopefully we'll do a podcast in June listening to our first podcast with Rob, our first solo pod, and Brian's interview. What was your first interview on YouTube? Because you were doing that way before.
YouTube. I couldn't figure out how to like upload stuff to iTunes, so I was like, all right, let me just do YouTube.
I now know, but I use a different service.
I feel like
service.
It probably is a lot easier. Yeah, it's probably like 2014 was not early podcast, but there wasn't a lot going on. So it's probably a lot easier nowadays. So we have Rivals 3 is when the first old podcast is available on rapidspodcast.com.
What year was that?
That was 2016. So we don't have Bloodlines, X's 2, or Free Agents.
All right. So we'll see. 2016, That's fine, actually. My worst years podcasting was when my dad was sick. So, like, I'm fine with cutting out the 14 to 15 era, like the late 14, the 2015 alley. Not a great alley. And you can go to the iTunes reviews to prove it. But, you know, I get a pass. I give myself a pass.
This Rahab, this fan, the website is pretty cool. It labels each of the podcasts when one of us is not on.
Oh, so I'm never there.
Yeah, there's a stretch, like seven straight episodes. But Rourke did the reunion in 2018 for Vendettas. I feel like she did another one too. Yeah, she did the finale the following year for Final Reckoning. And then she did again the finale again the following year in War of the Worlds.
Well, because I had to cut out for law school. We're basically doing our... Should we cut this and air it in June?
No, like, no. This is the teaser. We can shift away from this, but this is what we'll tackle in June.
But yeah, no, I missed the last like 3 to 5 weeks when I was in law school for finals of like a season that overlapped there. So
yeah.
Shout out to all our amazing subs. Amazing. We have not been able to lean on this season, but we have not forgotten you.
Yeah, this has been our biggest year. Did we miss one? I think we each missed one, maybe.
I did one with Chappelle.
And I missed one. Yeah, that was Chappelle. I think you missed one, I think.
Sounds like me.
I don't remember who I did it with, so maybe you didn't miss one.
Oh, no. Yes, you did. You did. I did miss one, and you're now disrespecting the great person who...
Big time.
I missed two.
What's his name? Oh, my God. I feel so bad. This is really bad. Class of 2020 person.
You need to note this and tell him to cut this out.
This is so bad.
You did two. I missed two. I literally timestamp this and tell Scott he's got to get rid of this.
Oh, bad. No, but that's just for my own sake. I have to look up his name. Jason Reed. Oh, shout out, Jason. He was great, though.
There was another person who is a prolific tweeter whose name is also escaping me that you had on, who was great. I listened to the podcast.
Alan. Yeah. Okay. So there's two.
All right. I guess we're leaving this in, guys, and you can see how deranged we are. And I'm sorry to literally the great people who subbed and we enjoyed having on, and we just have no respect for it. This is like when I was like, did Haley or Kirsten do it? Like, did we do that podcast with them for X on the Beach? And I think neither of us, we still don't know. Like, we just disrespect our friends who help us out all the time.
Brian from the editing. We love all the people who've ever contributed on RSJP. We love them all. Back to the show.
The people we have on. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
We have all.
Okay, I want to evaporate now. That was almost fun and then horrible.
Episode 7, All Stars. Which, funny you said that this lighthearted. This was, I thought, the most intense episode of the season.
Did I say lighthearted? Just like I feel like it's family only and a return to early days.
Okay. Yeah, because there was, it sucks that the next week's the final, because as Darrell said, it's like really starting to get good. And that's it.
What can I just say? Speaking of, we can't even remember who was on our podcast. I still feel terrible about that. Like, who was even on this season? We've lost like 3 people and we're all going to the final.
It's crazy. As they were walking off to the final, I'm like, there's like 15 people left. The final must be like multi-stage where it cut people on the way. There's so many people left.
I don't envy the production decisions here, right? Because you want to get as many people as you can, right? That's sort of the point. And it can't be that long. Got it. So, like, here we are with a huge cast at the final. But again, you said this earlier. Like, why not double limbs from the beginning? Why not a purge? I'm a hypocrite. I didn't want to lose Cyrus and Beth. I didn't want to lose Ace. I didn't want to lose all these people. But now at the end, I'm like, I barely really saw Jhonae do stuff. We didn't see the Kendall Kellyanne payoff at all, which we'll discuss. Like, what were we doing here?
Yeah, I think what you just said was the biggest. It was a weird combination. They didn't want people's favorites to go home week one or two. And then they couldn't tell these people we have to stay here for 2 months. So there was this weird balance. And I guess the problem was they should have just had a smaller cast. Like, if you just cut the cast down by like 6 to 8 people, you're in better shape. But people want to see all the people that are here. So that's why, to me, this is not challenge proper. People can win. This is fun. This is cool. But this is its own organism.
And a lot of people came for us on that. And fair enough. And I think, you know, reasonable minds can differ on that. I'm with you, Brian. And some people were like, well, TJ gave her credit and said it's 11 wins. But people have given themselves all kinds of credit from Pros versus Joes. And we've decided we don't recognize that as proper wins. So, like, And we decide between the two of us how we feel about it, and you can all decide how you feel. I don't care what TJ says. Sorry. That doesn't, you know, it's like Jemmy. Yep. I don't care what you say. I love myself more, and I decide.
Yeah, totally agree. This is our bubble. This is what we're choosing to go with.
Family only. If you're 15 minutes into whatever hot nonsense we were spewing before, just like totally self-indulgent bullshit, then you're fine with this.
Hey, at least we're not walking in with a crown on our head that says king on it. So we got that going for us.
Oh, did you not wear yours today? I'll take mine off. Hold on. One more overarching thing before we get into it. And you're right. This is like the most we've really had to talk about in interest in this season. I was complaining all season on the challenge proper about the music, which also Andy Dennard wrote an article about why some of the Real World seasons aren't available. Mm-hmm. And it probably has to do with actual music rights. So just flagging that at Reality Blurred, he has an article on that if you're interested. But I actually love the sort of throwback music employed on All Stars.
Yeah, they've done a good job. Though, as you said, the whole vibe is kind of throwback. They bring back the old school songs, the old school setup. Yeah, it gives very late 90s, early 2000s-ish vibe.
Macho Man playing as Mark returns is very fun. It's fun. It pokes fun at Mark. The vibe is right and celebratory. And for all of the people who love when the lyrics apply into it. 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. And then we get the individual setups for the whole episode. They're also very old school. We get Derek wants to prove himself. He hasn't won since 2008. Nehemiah feels super confident. That was the kiss of death right there. John A., worried about seeing Kendall in a final. Got that set up. And the Anissa Hasella being super close outside of the show. So we got all the major setups for the entire episode.
Yeah, I was a big rut-row when I heard Derek start. Because we even said last week, like, once we see Derek, he's either winning or he's going home. And neither happened, but I was worried about him. Like, I have no kinship with the challenge, Challenge Mania. Like, so they don't need my support. Like, I appreciate what they're doing and everything like in that nature, whatever. But I, for some reason, feel like it's like Rob or Steven going on Survivor. Like, I don't want Derek to perform bad. Like, I just feel like you got to show up. And I know he has extra pressure. It's like Mark, like he has this extra pressure to do well. And I want to see him succeed. I don't want him to like be the first one. I mean, obviously that didn't happen, but I don't want him to like get bounced out before the final when he has this as his career.
Yeah, I think I totally agree. I think when you think of the show, like obviously Mark is like he's the creator of this one, basically. So you want him to do well. And to me, I think old school guy like Derek is like really for me, the first guy that pops in my head, like that scrappy, strong dude loves doing all this stuff. And you want to see him do well. So I'm glad he's made it all this way. Glad he's in the final because they were setting him up for a big downfall, which glad didn't play out that way.
So agreed. It was like Chekhov's I Feel Safe with Nehemiah and Kendall. Yeah, I think Kendall's evolution and jumping to the end that she ends up leaving on this episode. She has had the most interesting and full story arc, I think, of any person on this season in the way that she was immediately ostracized by everyone. Nobody wanted to like work with her or really was friendly with her. She stepped away and then like pulled herself away doing yoga, whatever. She had bad gameplay and then through competition earns the respect of like everyone there. And I think her leaving, like, I don't know that she would come back, but can you do All Stars 2 without Kendall? Mm-hmm. She was like the most interesting person on the season.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think how we talked about how Katie's stock really fell because of her showing this time around, I don't know if we'd even want her back next time. I think Kendall, 100%, her stock rose the most of anyone. Really, really would be excited to see her back. And I think, like you said, she almost has to be. She's played such a huge role in almost every episode this season. Unlike most of the people that would have one or two moments, she was a big part of every single episode.
And here's me digging for crumbs. John A having this conversation with Kendall and being really friendly to her and supportive, and especially when Kendall seems to have like no friends in the house, to John A saying to camera, I'm really threatened by her. I think, you know, we haven't seen a lot of John A, but I think this is expert social play to sort of keep your friends close and your enemies closer while still like keeping an awareness about who you want out of the house. I you know, again, we're going to the final without really seeing anything from Jhené. So I'm like, oh, here's a moment. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Jhené, that was good. Yeah. She, to her face, being very polite and also giving the respect that she's owed. Like, I'm, you know, I like her a lot, but I don't want to see her in the final, which I think for a competitor like Kendall is all you really want to hear.
Did you know, I mean, I didn't, like, that Anissa and Hasela were, like, such good friends from seasons past?
Yeah, no idea. And I think this is more legit than some of the Challenge Proper friendships that they've tried to pass off. The fact that they, Anissa, they talk nearly every day. Anissa knows her kids. Like, it seems like it is a real genuine friendship, not one they're just building up for the storyline to play out this episode. So, but I didn't know. I had no idea their level of closeness.
Well, I loved exactly what you're saying. I loved, like, sort of like the home video. Like, they went back to seasons they've been on together, but they also, like, showed a video that, like, one of them must have submitted because it looked like it was, like, not having anything to do with the challenge of them just out together. And to your point about comparing it to the Challenge Proper friendships, I mean, Hasela hasn't been on in a decade. There's no reason for them to be friends for the game, right? A lot of these relationships are circumstantial. Like, I got to keep up with these people because I see them every year, twice a year on the challenge. Anissa and Hasela have nothing to gain from being friends besides their friendship. So that's, like, definitely stronger than those circumstantial friendships.
Yeah, I'm sure Hasela, you know, 12 months ago, never thought she'd be on television again in this world again. So the friendship must have been legitimate.
Jemmy, the sole comic relief, really, of the challenge. They take my money. MTV needs to be saying, take my money to Jemmy, because when she's catcalling Mark and then is like, Mark's the hot stripper you hire for your mom's 50th birthday, I lost it.
Yeah, Jemmy's been great this season. She's really been, like, the voice of the people all the way through. Great commentary. Really, like, brings, like, the history and, like, the remnant, like, the reverence of some of these people. So, yeah, she's been great.
And from what limited I've seen from Jemmy on Twitter, she sort of, like, stayed humble and respective of her castmates. Jemmy can certainly, like, step out of school or whatever. That's a Brianism. What's the step out of turn, like, whatever. And, you know, she can certainly be out of pocket on Twitter. And like, I know somebody tweeted at her, like, oh, you're the confessional queen. And she was like, I'm just happy to be keeping up with, I think she said, like, Hasela and Darrell, who are so great. Like, she has respect and love for her castmates. And I think that's a great Jemmy.
Yes, 100%.
All right, beep, beep, here comes TJ on a truck.
Yep, TJ's favorite. The way we want Probst to come in during the final, TJ loves coming in on some big truck or bike or something like that. He comes in for the challenge, which is called Ribcage Pass, where two contestants at a time, each side of the truck, will have to hop from rung to rung, bringing four balls back and forth in a matter of time.
I have to say, I loved seeing TJ come in on a truck. It just shows, like, if we don't employ this every single episode, it's really exciting when it happens.
Yeah, and he loves it. He tries to, like, get the super cool face as he's coming in. TJ's having so much fun on this season. Maybe he himself has not had as much fun the last couple of regular seasons, because here, I mean, he's, like, laughing and joking with them constantly. He's really having a lot of fun.
And I am too. You know, when TJ has fun, we have fun.
Yes, we all have fun.
Question. Do we think Mark and Kendall set the order for this challenge?
See, I would think so, especially because Kendall went last. But I don't think Mark and Mark went last, too. Right.
So, yeah, I don't know why I was thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. They must have. I don't know why they're not showing it, because, again, going back to some of the older seasons, like, that, like, setting the order, like, that was like getting, you know, like, the grenade thing. Like, that was, like, a huge power thing to have each and every week. And it's, I don't know why it's fallen off, because that really, it does matter, like, going first or last, like, especially going first for a lot of these challenges. It really is kind of hurts your chances.
Yeah, I was very confused. So I didn't think anything of the order until I saw that Mark and Kendall were both last. And I was like, all right, nobody would put Mark and Kendall last except unless they set the order. So then going back and looking at it through that lens, it's like, Hasela and Anissa are first? Like, why?
Yeah, I mean, it's also possible they may have just shown them out of order. That's also a possibility. But at least for them being last, I'd like, they had to have set the order. Maybe they could just pick where they go and then everyone else is random. I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't show, like, the decision making.
Because we get Derek saying, like, we learned nothing from Hasela and Anissa going first. So I think that at least had to actually be first. And then Derek is like, Mark's my last competition, and then he hits four. So, I mean, you know, that could always be editing, but it did kind of seem with the very cute. And to your point about TJ having fun, the editors are having fun, like with the little news reporting. They're like, breaking, oh, Derek's still in the lead. You know, I think at least they were first and they were last kind of thing. But
yeah,
that was really helpful that I said they and they. I'm sure that everyone knew what I was talking about.
I mean, maybe like Kendall could set the order for the girls and Mark set the order for guys. And then they each kind of. But I don't know what Kendall would have against Anissa and Issa. I don't know. But there must have been some decision making there.
All right, let's talk about who did well. Seems like all the guys mostly stayed at an even playing field. I think Easy made he comes in last. He definitely hung in, and I was proud of him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he got two balls in, and that's what really most of them got, a couple at three, and obviously Mark at four, but two was, I mean, I guess just time-wise, he just did it slower, but definitely, we typically see a clear loser in these types of challenges, like we did for the girls, and for the guys, there was nothing there.
Yeah, I think Derek was the only one to even get three. So it's like everybody else, same playing. And I've been sort of low. I don't know if I have like Schadenfreude or whatever on Mark, but like he killed it. Like to beat every single other guy by two laps and then one other guy by one lap is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it seemed like, I think it was also based on time. And like he seemed to be done with time to spare. Like he could have got a fifth if there was a fifth.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It was a demolishing.
Yep. Absolutely. As CJ would say, absolutely killed it.
And then for the women, once Isela sets the bar so low to just get on three rungs, I don't really blame the women for being like, well, Anissa and Jemmy, like once I get past her, what's really the point? Like I probably have the social relationships to not go in anyway. And I'm not going to jump to my death here.
Yeah. The one worry, though, I would feel like for a girl here is, the social relationships almost don't matter because it's the guy just picking the strongest person. I guess if you're, you know, John A or someone like that, like you're not the strongest person, so you're not as concerned. It's almost like for Kendall and I guess even for like Anissa, where who they feel like they might be picked, they would have even more incentive to try to win.
Yeah, and we get Kellyanne saying that, which is like why I love this mechanism so much, is like you have motivation even if it's not your like, even if you're not going to be in the bottom, like, you want to be safe. And it's not like when it was just a single elimination where, like, okay, like, the guy, like, if it was just a deliberation to send a guy in, Kellyanne doesn't necessarily have the motivation to kick ass, but she knows she's going to be top of the list to get picked. So, like, I better kick ass. And that makes it such a better challenge.
Yeah, I do think if this was like a full season and we were seeing this, you know, play out over 14, 15 weeks, and you constantly see the same people be picked, I feel like we would be begging for some type of mechanism where you can't be picked back-to-back times or something else you can do to stop yourself from being picked. So the fact that it was only 2-3 weeks of this, it was okay. But over a long season, I feel like there's some things they need to work out.
Yeah, I mean, you could stop yourself by being picked by winning. And somebody else wrote in that it was like, it incentivizes, like, it punishes, like, the quote, stronger players because they're going to be the ones picked and you're going to end up with, like, John A or whatever, like, just floating through. But I don't know. When you get, if you lose a challenge and you auto go in, plus you see something like Katie didn't necessarily pick the strongest person. She picked the strongest person of the two people she was willing to pick because she was not willing to pick Mark or Derek or, you know, Mark was safe, right? Or I don't know. But like she wasn't willing to pick her friends. So there is, I think, a social way to get out of it that like your really close friend isn't going to just drag you in. Like Nehemiah is not close with Kendall, so he's going to drag her in.
Yeah, no, there is a balance between like, social. Do you like if your friend is really good, do you want to pull them down with you? But then also gives you the best chance to win. There is kind of a moral dilemma there.
Also, I'm real about it. When you drag in somebody I really care about leaving, I'm going to hate the mechanism. But when you pick people that I think is like the fair pick and I don't care that they go home, no sweat off my back.
Exactly. We're very results oriented over here.
so far, it's been fine. I mean, Letary, also, to what we've been saying before with the sort of foreshadowing of like Derek, Nehemiah, Anissa, and Isela, like the show's done kind of a good job of putting a bow on each person's story as they go. So like Letarian was great, but we got to see a lot of Letarian. So I felt like at peace with him leaving. I would have liked to see him in the final. I would have liked to see more of him and Anissa, but we got a lot. Katie, we definitely saw enough of her from my perspective, like that kind of thing.
It is crazy how, like, not how much, like it was only a few segments, but the fact that they focused on Kellyanne versus Kendall as a thing and then it really amounted to nothing makes me think Kellyanne must either win or do pretty well because the fact that they're like forcing a storyline of some sort for her. So, but otherwise, I don't know what like that was about.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Kendall out of it, if it's somewhat of a traditional final, I think Kellyanne's the clear favorite for the women.
Yeah, although, I mean, so there is just the one winner, which I really, really hate. But it is just the one winner. So I guess it depends how all the steps of the final play out.
Great point. Forgot. Keep forgetting because it makes no sense. But yeah. Also, it's so much money. It's so much money for it's like so 2 weeks of their life or whatever it is. They would all be equally motivated by $2,500, especially ignore that I said that. $250,000. mm-hmm. Scott, can we cut that? No, we're not cutting anything. But like, and especially when like these people don't get return invites. So it's not even mm-hmm. the case where like somebody might say, oh, I'm getting $50,000 just to be on the show and I'm going to be invited season after season. Tell me these people wouldn't cut each other down for $50,000.
Yeah. I mean, pay out the top three. Like why is it one winner? Pay out the top three of each like men and women. Yeah. Pay out six people. Who cares? Yeah. Like spit out the $500,000. I don't know, do whatever you want with it, but there's no reason to pay one person. Like that's ridiculous.
I agree. I think that's a relic of the challenge proper because they all get paid so much money to be on and have other opportunities or whatever. Like I think this could be an old school payout model.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It should be.
All right. Anything else to say from the challenge? The daily?
No, nothing else. Good for Mark and Kellyanne.
All right. So yeah, the big losers are Big Easy and Hisela. They'll go to the arena. My immediate thought is like, I'm not ready to lose Hisela. I was very worried about Big Easy and Hisela.
Yeah. And even for Big Easy too, he's been a pretty big part of this season too. They were two of the bigger characters going in. And you'd think, depending upon what the elimination might be, they could be in rough shape, but obviously not.
Also love the flashback to Sarah and Kellyanne in the ruins. Like, I don't know that the average viewer can appreciate, like, even I remember that final and I was like, oh my God, I forgot that was her last time in the challenge.
Yeah. And it's just, that would have been like the biggest upset literally like, in a final. It was them two. I think it was like Kenny, Evan, Derek, like a couple others really strong, like it was like five of their six of like, I think Evelyn was on their team. It was like five or six of like the biggest stars ever. And Kellyanne and Sarah, I think that was Sarah's rookie year. And they almost won. Crazy.
Yeah. So I'm happy to see Kellyanne. It's well-deserved. Mark, it's well-deserved. And I have in my notes, looking back like an idiot, I guess we're seeing Kendall versus Kellyanne in the final. Cause I was so convinced like you were that was going to pay out. Did not.
Did not. Womp womp. That there's some challenge proper playing out right there. Storyline not clearly playing out.
What do you think of Anissa's strategy of, if you pick me for the elimination, I'm not gonna do it?
doing starfishes in the middle of the jungle. That's her plan. So I need your help with Anissa here, because I don't understand her logic here in terms of her voting. So if her and Hisela are as close as advertised, taking it for what it's worth, what is it to her to just vote how Hisela wants? Why does she go through all of this to vote in Nehemiah here?
Okay, there is so much to unpack here. And I know that I did go to Twitter because I was very confused. And Hisela said, like, there is so much that didn't air. Because even, so many puzzling things. Anissa's, like, vote with her gut because of what Yes said. All Yes said was like, I don't have alliances and I choose my friends day by day. That's not like,
who makes me my omelet? That's my alliance.
That's not saying the friendships I've made in this short time I will be loyal to. That is like, I'm not loyal to you if you mm-hmm. like me. That's insane. Mm-hmm. So that Anissa vote, again, choosing between Yes and Nehemiah, very bizarre. But also Hisela saying, like, you're not my friend. Like, her logic was really, you'd assume she really just wanted out and protected. Like, Hisela's whole argument of, like, let's put new people in, fair is fair, was really just because she wanted to protect Alton, which I respected. Like, that's mm-hmm. politicking. Like, make it make sense to everyone else and push your agenda forward. Full respect. But, like, why is she so upset that it ends up being Nehemiah? Because Yes is just as good of a competitor. It's not like she asked for someone easy to beat.
Yeah, I didn't understand either of their stances, but Anissa was the only one that had to act on it. And there was like, what does she gain? Like obviously there had to be someone, because I just don't know what she is risking. Like in this moment, all you're trying to do is blend in so you're not like the person being picked, especially for her vantage point. She's like, I just don't want to be picked. So why would you go so far out of your way to become such a known factor in this vote that Nehemiah can be like, you know what? Screw you, Anissa. Let's do this one.
I have to believe that she felt or had some information that Nehemiah was less likely to pick her than Yes was. Because she kept saying, yeah, I need to do what's best for me. I need to get to the final. And there had to be some sense that Yes would pick her or something. But like, again, we did not see a coherent storyline at all. And that's not normal for Anissa. Anissa doesn't normally like do random things. And to that end, mm-hmm, Hisela turning on her so quick and saying like she plays this grimy game. And like, Anissa's not really known for, I agreed with Anissa when she's like, I could count on three fingers who I've like betrayed in 20 years. It's not really Anissa's game to put their friend in the lurch. And I do believe that if there was like a weaker man that was up for it, she would have voted to like really help Hisela.
Yeah, that's got to be it. There clearly must have been someone that got back to her that Yes was either going to or more likely to pick her, because that's the only way this logic makes sense. If it was all things equal and or whatever, like it just doesn't make sense why she would disagree with and go against Hisela. If it, not even that, like Hisela's point made sense, but like all right, she's in the elimination as they've done all year. They kind of listen to who's going in and go from there. So either you just listen to her or there had to be something else.
Here's the real craziness to me too. So like, this is a thick layer of crazy, but buried underneath that, like with the hammer and the ice block, is Jemmy's vote. Because Jemmy's so pissed. Well, Jemmy, if you don't throw your vote, Nehemiah doesn't go in. If Jemmy doesn't vote for Derek and makes it a 4-3, mm-hmm, Yes, Nehemiah, then Anissa at best could tie. And I think at that point, she's going to vote Yes, right? Like, she's not going to push it to a tie.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, given that they don't really know how ties would work. So, yeah, I wouldn't think she would give it to a tie. Yeah, Jemmy, that was a weird vote for two, because, again, Jemmy's, as we pretty logical, and again, not wanting to draw much attention to herself. And, I mean, all of a sudden, after she voted for Derek, Derek got at least, I think he got three votes, too, I think, or two votes. I think the ball started to kind of roll. It's like, oh boy, is the Derek scene from the beginning about to play out now, and he's going to go into elimination? Yeah, that was weird from Jemmy too.
Yeah, Derek ended up with two votes when it went to Anissa, but the editing like dropped his votes out and just made it 3-3, so you could tell that Anissa was going to pick between one of the two. But yeah, Anissa, mm-hmm, had the option to put a third on Derek and make it 3-3-3. Mm-hmm. Maybe it would have been a revote, because there was also one stray vote. So if it was like a revote and then... like, I think Kendall voted for Alton. So if you take Alton off the table, like, then I guess Kendall would have decided. But yeah, I thought Jemmy did a lot of standing on ceremony there when she was just as much to blame. She basically took for granted that Anissa was going to vote for Yes. And Jemmy, if Nehemiah is your challenge boyfriend, like, you don't throw a vote on a when it's 3-3 between your boyfriend, nope, and someone else.
No, absolutely not. Not with kind of at this point in the game. Not as many numbers.
Now, the other thing that gets sort of brought up is that Easy wants Nehemiah, and then everyone kind of quickly poo-poos that. Maybe that weighed into Anissa's decision. Was she going with Easy's thing? Like, I'm not really sure there. I think more will... Are they still doing the challenge podcast with Tori and Anissa? My guess would be no.
I wouldn't think so. I don't think they have ever talked... I feel like they were only talking about double agents, but that's completely me speculating.
Anissa didn't tweet, and Hisela said she wanted to save Anissa. Hisela has been tweeting a ton. It's very cute. She like tweets pictures of Alton, like whether or not they're together, they definitely still have a good relationship. She like flirts with him on Twitter, but I didn't have time to check to see if she did like an Instagram live. So maybe next week we'll have more information. I'm not sure.
There you go.
But all right, they go out. I love Big Easy chugging drinks before his elimination. That seems insane to me.
Yeah, and Jemmy walks in. Red wine me, please. Put that on a t-shirt.
I love, I'm going to drink them out of their white wine like I drank them out of their red.
Yeah, that was great. And I like the Big Easy was like, it seemed like he was trying to be nice to Nehemiah. He's like, all right, what's your poison? And Nehemiah is like, I'm not scared of you. It's like, okay, I was just asking if you wanted a drink. Relax, buddy.
That was really bad. Nehemiah was a real jerk. Like, I think he was upset and he took it out on Easy and like, no one's worried about you. And Eric, I think Eric handled it really well. I think we talk about this with Anissa, but Eric gets the same shit of like, you know, he's underestimated and whatever. And honestly, seeing this moment for Nehemiah in the bar made it really exciting when Eric ended up winning.
Yeah, no, it was great because they showed the flashback of him taking out Nehemiah the last time, you know, many years ago, and he does it again. So, you know, good. Kind of similar to like Easy and Anissa are, they're very similar. Like in eliminations, you don't want to see them because if they're in any way physical, you know, head to head, like they're big people, like they could really take you out. But in a final, that's not what they're meant for.
Well, which I totally thought this elimination favored Nehemiah and Kendall. And then somebody even said that. Was it Darrell who said that? Like,
I think it was Mark, I think.
Yeah, I totally agreed with that. I was like, we got more of Hisela and Eric's storyline. We didn't really hear much from Nehemiah and Kendall, you know, besides like the early calling the shot of like, I'm safe. But I loved Hisela hyping Easy up. Like, I have one of the strongest guys out here. Then Hisela hurts her knee. I'm like, it's out. But I liked this final. It was pretty quick. And I think we didn't get to appreciate like the puzzle element of like putting the chains on, but you know, Easy killed it basically single-handedly.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah. The way Sella really busted up her knee. That was tough to see. And yeah, clearly he was doing something that really worked well. They were saying, oh, like, I didn't realize the puzzle aspect of putting together the ladder, but you know, what Easy's doing is working great. I didn't know what he was doing that was so different than Nehemiah. It looked the same thing to me, but I don't know. Obviously, he was doing something different because they were calling it out, but it worked well.
I just choked. Yeah, no, I agree. It didn't read on camera, but it was quick enough that it's fine. I love Hisela. Like, I did a quick medical assessment. And like, yes. That was hilarious. I do think both team members, since it's a team challenge, should have had to climb up the ladder and ring the bell, but I don't care because I was happy Easy and Hisela won.
Yep. Yeah, no bleeding. Can wiggle your toes. You can move on.
Someone's got to tell Easy that it's not that intimidating to call yourself the choo-choo train.
I think he's trying to pretend like he's CT or something. The intimidating thing is doing the sound effect, not saying the word.
They didn't know. They were undefeated because they had a face. The choo-choo, chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga. Like, it was just not cute at all.
It's Thomas coming in at you.
All right, so next week we have the final of both Match Me If You Can and the Challenge All Stars. How do you like that synergy? God.
Put that you know, national holiday. What an historic event.
Imagine if the Match Me If You Can ran one episode longer than the All Stars, and we had to do like a solo pod for 5 minutes.
If I had to say, welcome to episode 8 of Matchy If You Can,
we would something. Force Kyle Picard to come on and discuss it.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, well, my guess is, do you think this is a two-part? I mean, there's like 20,000 people for the final next week. So I would imagine it's probably two parts, right? Because it wasn't supposed to be 9 episodes.
Yeah, and is this episode 7? So then, yeah, it must be two parts.
So two parts.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. It'll be interesting battle. It seems like based on the preview, there's, you know, paired aspects and then maybe team aspects and then eventually individual aspects. So it'll be a fun combo.
Did you watch this week's episode of Match Me If You Can?
I did. Of course I did. I'm biggest fan now.
All right. So what did you think of Joey from The Circle and Kylie from the gender fluid season of Are You the One? Gender fluid, sexually fluid season.
Yeah, so I didn't watch that season where he won, so I came in completely blank on Kylie. I didn't know who she was.
You haven't even watched that season of Are You the One?
I think I missed the last two seasons, to be completely honest.
What are you doing here? Don't call me casual.
I did it. I don't know. Maybe in my, I'll watch it on the side. If it's on Paramount Plus, maybe I'll get to it at some point. I don't know.
Come up with it? It must have come up with Amber, and I just didn't register that you said that.
Yeah. No. Big. Yes, I didn't watch. But I liked her here. I totally agree with the decision that they were just friends. That's the vibe I had the whole time. I was like, are they really just gonna, I mean, if they're just gonna swipe up to be polite, but clearly they're just friends, and they were just friends.
So I felt like Joey was extremely overproduced, like, by himself. Like, I thought he was just, like, not being even remotely real. I think Kylie was sort of, like, matching that energy. But I did think they had a good friend connection, and I think that came from having zero physical interest in each other.
Yeah, and they had, like, one of the more physical dates of the entire time with the yoga and the paint thing going on. So, weird thing to do, I guess, with a new friend, but, you know, teach their own.
I think we have some questions from the aforementioned Kyle Picard. Just so funny. My brother was like, Brian went in on Kyle. And like, my brother has no, he's not watching this, so he doesn't even know what it is. I was like, no. It's like, it's a commercial. It's not a show. And like, right. But I think out of context, it was just like, Kyle's like, I like this. And you're like, it's trash.
I felt bad. And then I tried apologizing and being like, oh, no, I like you, Kyle. And then I just got like, the over the top of from you. Oh, well, you never even liked them to begin with. I'm like, oh, my God, give me the shovel.
I know. And I was like DMing Kyle on the side like, whoop. Well, because you were like, I like Kyle now. It was like, it was a very funny like word. But we all know what you meant.
It was big time foot and mouth.
But okay, so Kyle said, were you shocked at the number? This is also hilarious. Joey comes on, it's like 3 minutes into the 10 minutes, and I message Kyle like, oh my God, I can't even watch this. And he was like, have you gotten to the end? I don't want to spoil. It's like, oh my God.
It's like Game of Thrones. Don't tell me he's on the Iron Throne.
Were you surprised that there was a no match?
No, I thought it was the right decision. I was glad they both did it. I guess it'd be kind of awkward if one said yes and one said no. So I'm glad they both swiped down. Is that even a new thing? Isn't it swipe left or right? Is swipe up and down?
This is the Pepsi. This is the Pepsi matchmaker.
Okay, they do their own thing. And by the way, I tried my homework assignment.
Kyle asked, "Have you had Pepsi Mango yet?"
I tried. I can't. It's not available. I can't find it. I went two different times to the supermarket. It wasn't there.
All right, I'm going to keep my eyes out. I might have to, like, drizzly it to you or something.
I tried. I'm going to try. I went a couple days ago. Wasn't there. I'm like, all right, you know what? This morning, maybe they got a fresh shipment in. I'm going to check it out. Wasn't there.
That fresh Thursday delivery.
Yeah.
Thirsty Thursday for Brian.
Exactly. Got to time it with the release of this new episode.
I appreciate the effort, man. You tried. I haven't even looked, so... Yeah. Shout out to you. And then here's Kyle with the leading question. Do you think these two had more chemistry than the other couples, even though they both swiped down? What do you think Kyle thought?
Well, this is the game we're playing. I think Kyle said they did not have as good chemistry as anyone else.
No, I was being sarcastic because this question was like what I'll ask you. It's like, did you like this challenge even though it was terrible? Like, he's like, did you think they had more chemistry even though they swiped down? Like, I think Kyle was upset they swiped down. They had friend chemistry.
They absolutely had friend chemistry.
But thank you, Kyle, for producing this segment, because we'd have nothing to talk about if not for your love of this show. So we appreciate it.
I did enjoy having Joey back in my life. Brought back fond memories of, pre-COVID life.
I just found him so annoying on this in a way that I liked him on The Circle.
Maybe he's only good behind a screen. When he's out in the real world, it's not as good.
I mean, he's still behind my screen. I don't see him. I actually think I'd have a great time hanging out with Joey. I have a question. All right. So Kyle asked me this. I'm going to put it to you. Each episode has been somewhere between like 10 and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Do you think the finale is going to be longer? Yes or no? I'm putting the over under at 12 minutes. It should probably be 11 and a half minutes.
Yeah. So I'm looking at YouTube right now. I had it up, so I made sure I remembered Kylie's name. So this one was 11:28. 11:28. Last week was 11:12. Week before, 9:21. Week before, well, not the week, but this is out of order, but another week, 11:18. And that's everything. So 12 minutes. I'll take the end. I'll say I'll be back.
No, I'm putting it at 11 and a half. I'm putting it at 11 and a half.
Okay. 11 and a half. That would be the longest one to date. I'll stick with the under.
I'm fine with the over on that, because I think it's like, it's the finale. We might get a recap. We're going to get, looks like only Natalie and Kira will come back to swap up the dates.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I'll take the over, make it a little interesting. Loser buys a Pepsi Mango.
Perfect.
And that's all she wrote, friends.
There we go. Wow. What a time. Any back to All-Stars, any prediction? Oh my God. Predictions on who you think is going to win?
If it's Mark, I'm annoyed. Like, I don't think it's fixed, but if it's Mark, oof.
Yeah, that's like Vince McMahon winning the WWE Championship belt.
What do you think?
I'm going to stick with my gut based off like the editing, and I'll go with Kellyanne. I feel like they're going to obviously have to make it like pseudo gender neutral at some point in like the last stretch when it's individuals. It's, you know, it's not going to be some crazy thing. So that'll balance it out. And I think Kellyanne is still already one of the most athletic people in the house. So I think if they balance it, that'll help her. And based off the edit she's had, I'm going to go with her.
I think that's a great pick, especially because, like you said, they've been forcing a storyline for her. She's gotten a ton of confessionals, but we don't see anything from her really otherwise. I think everyone else has sort of had their like episode. Like, we don't really see anything from Derek. We give him this episode for no reason. He doesn't end up winning the challenge. So to me, it's like, all right, we gave Derek an episode. We've given Anissa her time. We've given all of these people sort of their moment. So I think Kellyanne's a great pick. Should I pick someone? I mean, who's even in contention? Derek, yes. Mark. Eric.
Easy.
Yeah, let's just do a quick rundown of who's there.
All right, so we got Alton still, Darrell. Let me see if I can just actually get the full cast. Because, I mean, there's so many people.
Yeah. Let's just take stock.
All right, All-Stars. Okay. So, got Celeste still, Jemmy, Anissa, yes, Kellyanne. I think Ruthie's still in, right? She's still in. Mark, Darrell, John A, Big Easy, Derek, and that's it.
All right, so I support your Kellyanne pick, but if I have to diversify, I'll say Mark. I think it's going to be Mark, yes, or Kellyanne.
Yeah, I can't imagine any other girl beating Kellyanne. So I think she just has such a clear leg up there that she's got a good shot.
All right, leave it to us to turn nothing into 52 minutes.
Boom, go us.
Not nothing. It was a good episode.
Yeah, no, it was very good. It was very good. All right, you can subscribe to this, robberswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I _. Can follow you
at Lash Tweets. You can check out New Girl Old Guy Still Trucking with Big Kiwi Weens at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy. And we did meet our goal. I think we ended up setting the goal at 850 5-star reviews. We're at 859. So thank you to everyone who supported us all season. We really, really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Did I say you could follow me at Lash Tweets? Maybe I said that first.
Still can.
Don't follow me.
Don't. We'll be back next week. Episode 8 and the finale of Match Me If You Can. Till then, have a good one.